24/7. Now we welcome you today to another great moment of exposition. So we would like you to be part of it. So today we welcome you to the world of liberty. And so I would like you to consider yourself incredibly lucky today, because what we are sharing today, the Bible lets us know that even angels long to look into these things, you know. Amen. They really want to understand what this redemption and the mystery is and what we've been sharing. So I would like you to avail yourself of this opportunity to look into what angels long to look into.
Amen. Amen.
And so today you are really lucky to be, your privilege, we are all privilege of God to be looking into this thing. So quickly, you will join us as we go into this Knockout Season series of prayer. We've been on Knockout Season of prayer, that's Matthew chapter, for a very, very long time.
The
Lord's Prayer for a very, very long time. And that has taken us to First Corinthians, taking us everywhere in the New Testament. So we're going back to that prayer today. I really believe that. We're going back to the prayer today and continue. So hopefully, maybe for two or three sessions, we'll be able to round it off. So today, where do we go in the prayer?
Quickly now, if you've been joining us on the previous episodes, you would notice that it was Matthew 6:11 that we actually began to look into, and that led us into quite a number of series on our Knockout series on prayer. And so we're done with that. So today, we're going to go into the next verse. It is our Lord's Prayer. Don't forget, we are looking at the Lord's Prayer using the lens of the New Covenant, using the New Covenant revelation, understanding, to look at the implication of what has been popularly called the Lord's Prayer. And that's what we've been doing so far. So today, we're going to carry on with the next verse, which is verse 12, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. You can, if you have your Bible there, you can have a look. But if not, you can listen as we look at the implication of Matthew 6:12 through the prism or through the lens of the New Covenant. Matthew 6:12, you can read. What does it say?
Yeah, before we go into that, I quickly want to remind our viewers that they can get all these episodes on prayer, where we've been coming from our Exposé 247 page on Facebook, and to get our YouTube site to get all this, so, because some people don't even know how far we have been away
that's
from
true.
It. A lot to... The last two episodes were about God's boot camp and kiss dismiss. And that was about, it was the Lord's Prayer that led us into it.
It was the give us this day our daily bread and led us into all that.
So we really have to connect the dots for people to understand. So we are reading verse 12.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Join us as we progress through these verses.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
Don't forget, this was a prayer the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, to teach us to pray. So Jesus then said in verse 12, this is one of the prayer points they should pray. Forgive us our debts. And then they said, even as we forgive those
our debtors
who trespass against us. If you look at the Luke's account, this one says, forgive our debtors. Now, this is what we're going to... come down to today and see what the Spirit of Grace has to say to us. Again, let us point out quickly, we've said this in the past, but let us reiterate this for the sake of those who might be listening to this for the first time. We said one thing that we understand about this prayer in Matthew chapter 6 is it's a pre-New Covenant prayer. It was a prayer point that Jesus taught his disciples before Jesus went to the cross. And let us quickly point out that the New Covenant never started until Jesus shed his blood. How do we know that? Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that without the what? Shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And it says until the death of the testator, the testament, or what you can call the covenant, does not go into effect. It means there was no New Covenant until the testator, who was Jesus, had to die. Now, Jesus had not died in Matthew chapter 6. So definitely, the New Covenant had not started. In fact, in Corinthians, he tells us, he said, this is the New Covenant in my blood. Until the blood was shed, there was no New Covenant. So we have guarantees that shows in the Scriptures, this prayer was before the New Covenant. Now, then he then says, a prayer before the New Covenant says, pray this prayer this way. The Lord, forgive. He said, make a request to God to forgive what? Your sins. He said, forgive us our sins as we
forgive.
So then it connects God's performance to what we do. Can you see that? It connects God's favorable response to our own what? Performance. And that's what we see in this place. But let's dig into the reality of the scripture for you as a believer in the new covenant, because there are so many Christians who are bound today. There's so many Christians who are under the bondage of the devil, under the bondage of condemnation, under the bondage of hell, because of not having a right perspective or understanding of such a verse like this, Matthew 6:12. I mean, I want to say this before we continue. It might sound a bit very strange that the reason why some people are in bondage of the devil today were the very words of Jesus. I'll say that again. I know it sounds a bit ironic that some people read the very words of Jesus, and those very words of Christ are the reason why they're in bondage, which is a bit of a strange thing. It's a bit counterintuitive, because Jesus Christ said he came to set us free, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But strange enough, some people read the word of Jesus, and because they didn't understand what Christ meant, or because they didn't read it with the right lenses, the very words of Jesus has put them in bondage. And that's why we're on this transmitter today, to break these matters down in the reality of the new covenant. Follow us quickly. Now, before we actually begin to elucidate on this with other verses, let me say this quickly. If you check the Greek concordance for this word, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us, if a nice concordance, like as the Greek concordance, and a good one is the Strong's concordance, it would tell you that that word forgive is the word aphis. I mean, I'll spell that, so that for those who want to check on that, aphis. Now, what a feast, if you check the concordance, to tell you this, what a feast is a verb. It means it's an action. You're asking God to perform something. He said, forgive us. You're saying, God, please do something. So the Greek concordance will tell you that this word forgive is the word a feast, and it tells you that it's an action that has to be what? Performed. It's a verb. That's what it says. But let's then quickly jump over and look at a seemingly contradiction that we find in the scriptures. I use the word contradiction. In the new covenant, after Christ has shed his blood, let us check this same word forgive out in the scripture. Only see one or two things?
No.
Okay. Now, follow us quickly as we begin to look at other verses. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. The reason why I'm going to read Luke 24 before we go actually into the epistles is because at least Luke is still part of the word, the Gospels.
Okay.
Look at Luke 24. We will go through other scriptures and come all the way back to Matthew 6:12 and see what Jesus really meant when he said, disciples should pray that prayer. Look at Luke 24, you can read from verse 46, and let's see what it says there. Don't forget I said the word forgive is the word aphes, A-P-H-E-S, a verb, an action for God to perform.
Luke 24.
Yeah, what does verse 46 say? Now here it is.
Then he said to them.
That was Jesus. This was after he resurrected. So you can say, this was after Jesus resurrected. And then on the road to Emmaus, you know all that story. This was after he resurrected. So we know at this point, the new covenant had already started. Because the testator died and he resurrected. So, Luke 24, even though it's in the gospel, what Jesus is talking about now is something about the time he has resurrected. What does he say? Go on, please.
Then said he to them, thus it is written,
yes,
and thus it was necessary,
okay,
for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.
It was necessary for him to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. That particular statement Jesus made was a defining event that separated the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 from what he's going to say now to them. Now go on, please.
Verse 47.
Verse 47, what does it say?
And that repentance.
That repentance.
And remissions of sins.
And remission of sins.
Should be preached.
Should be preached.
In his name.
In his name.
To all nations.
Okay.
Beginning at Jerusalem.
Now, you see, the word preached there is the same word you might want to call declaration. Is that okay? Now it's a declaration. He says that the Shavuot declaration of the word, now remission, is the same word forgiveness of what?
Sins.
Now, there's a change of terminology. Now, I said that because, again, if you take Greek concordance there, for that remission or some other versions of the word forgiveness there, it changes from being aphes and it becomes something called aphesim. A-P-H-E-S-I-N. What does that mean? The Greek concordance will tell you this is not a verb, this is a noun. This is the name you give to something that has been what? Done. All he asked people to do was to go and make a declaration of that which has been done. I'll repeat that. That's why he says that remission or forgiveness of sins will be what? Preached. The word preaching is not a story. The word preaching is not explain to people how to do something. And I think you need to understand the fact there's a big difference between when you preach and when you try to explain to people this is how. Preaching is a declaration. Preaching is making an event known to people to say, have you not heard that this already what happened? That's what preaching means. You see, anytime the Bible uses the word preaching, it's the same word for declaration, same word for proclamation. It's like somebody saying, hey, people come, let me tell you what. Do you know what happened? It says, go and tell them that what? There is what? Forgiveness of what? Seeing that something was accomplished by the fact that Christ what? Died. Okay. Tell people about what happened. So forgiveness changed from being something that God was being asked to perform or to do as a verb, an action. It became something like a declaration of something that had been what? That had been done. I want you to take note of the switch of the grammatical tense of forgiveness. From being a verb of an action in Matthew 6:12 that God was asked to what? Perform. A change to something that had a name to declare to people what God had what? Done. People were only meant to hear that remission of sins, forgiveness of sins had been accomplished. Have you not heard? That is what this Luke 24:46 is trying to say. Now there's a switch there from a verb to a noun. Can you see? From an action that God asked to do to something that God did, but God wanted men to hear about what he did. Now begin to take note of that switch. Now again, I want to go quickly to Acts 13. We're just looking at, you know, these things that happened at the new covenant when Christ was actually what? Resurrected. Look at Acts 13, 38 and see what it says there. Acts 13, 38. Okay.
It reads.
Go on, please.
Therefore. Let it be known to you.
Okay.
Brethren, mm-hmm. That through this man.
That's Jesus.
Is preached to you.
Can you see again? Mark the word preach. That is a declaration of something that took place. Can you see? Something has happened. Somebody's meant to make a declaration. So anytime you see the word preach, it's a declaration. Not of something that God will do. No. Not something that God will perform. A declaration of the implication of what already happened. Can you see that?
Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin.
Again, the word forgiveness there refuses to be a verb that God will perform. It refuses to be an action that we are waiting for God to do, which is, have you noticed in Matthew 6:12? It was an action that we're waiting on God to perform. It says, pray that God will what? Forgive your sins, even as you forgive. So in Matthew 6:12, we are waiting for this action to come from God. It was a verb that God, it was an action for God to do. But Luke, Acts 13, 38 says, no, this is what was done. Go and make a declaration of what has been accomplished. So we see a big switch from pre-New Covenant to after the New Covenant went to effect in those verses. It says, so in Acts 13, 38, he said, go and tell them, go and preach the what? The forgiveness of what? Sins in his name. That's what we see there in Acts 13, what? 38. Now, again, we're going to go through quite some few verses and point out these major differences. Now, again, I wanted to go quickly again to Acts 26. Acts 26, 18. All these are things that happen after the new covenant went into effect.
Verse 18, Acts 26, 18.
What does it say?
To open their eyes.
Okay.
In order to turn them from darkness to light.
Okay.
And from the power of Satan to God.
Mm.
That they may receive.
Okay.
Forgiveness of sins.
You know, the reason why we've actually gone to Acts 26, 18 is, and some of you are asking the question, does it then mean, because from what we see in Matthew 6, 20, we're begging for God to what? To forgive. But no. All the verses we've read so far says, no, this is not a matter of begging. Just go and declare that there's forgiveness of sins. But Acts 26, 18 then brings something into focus. It begins to talk about the fact that what? That it may what? Receive forgiveness of sins. Can you see? The problem we do have in the new covenant is not about the forgiveness of sins on the part of what? On the part of God. And that is what some Christians actually get a bit confused. You are trying to convince a God who said, go and preach what? Forgiveness of sin. You have no business trying to convince him. God was convinced by the sacrifice of Jesus. The Bible says in his name, they will preach what? Forgiveness of sins. But all Acts 26, 18 began to say is that men may what? Receive the what? The forgiveness of what? Of sins. So men are the ones that receive it. You don't convince God to what? to do it, because in his name forgiveness of sin must be preached. So let's come back to this. That sounds a bit contradictory to Matthew 6:12, which was actually asking them to pray to convince God to forgive us our sins. In the new covenant, we don't do that. In the new covenant, forgiveness of sin was already accomplished. All we do is to invite men to receive the the forgiveness of of sins. Now, you have some few verses to read, please.
Before we go there, I just want to adjourn our viewers that they will have this switch of understanding too, to really understand what is happening in Matthew chapter 6 and with all the other verses that we've shared, that now that we have moved from the verb to the noun.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is no longer a doing thing anymore.
It's a done
thing. It's a done deal. It's a done thing. So it's not like a doing thing anymore. So Christ has forgiven. Our job has been made simpler. It's just for us to preach this thing and to receive this.
To declare it and tell men God has forgiven
our done
sins.
And then to receive it. That is the only thing we have to do about it. We are not waiting eagerly for the forgiveness. When will it happen? Where is it done deal?
Amen.
So that is it.
Thank you very much. Now, please be patient with us, because we need to lay the foundation of different verses so that we can come to a conclusion. Ephesians 1:7, please. Ephesians 1:7. So we see that forgiveness has gone from being a verb, it has become a noun. It has become a name of what God has already accomplished. What does Ephesians 1:7 say? So we can glean understanding there.
It is.
What does it say, P.S.?
In him we have redemption through his blood.
Again, it is not about you. It's about in him, what happened in Christ through his blood. You might want to put the new covenant there, because he set the new covenant into motion by the shedding of his blood. So that was in him. Now, you are not even part of the equation. We'll go on, what does it say there?
Through the forgiveness of sin.
Can you see that? Through the forgiveness of what?
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin.
We have redemption through his blood. If you're not fully convinced, I think it's a junction where you have to throw up your hands in the air and say, well, I give up regarding the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, if you believe that we have redemption through his blood. The question I want to ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ shed his blood at Calvary? If you say you believe, the scripture says that shedding of his blood came with the package of the forgiveness of sins. It came with it. It was part of the deal. You couldn't have the blood being shed without forgiveness of sins being part of the blood that was shed. He said that came with it, according to Ephesians 1:7. Can you see that? Now go on, please.
According to the riches of his grace.
It means it is according to his riches of his grace. It's got nothing to do with what you did or what you are going to do to convince him to forgive you. He said the forgiveness that was given through the shedding of the blood was in accordance. I like the word in accordance, because he could have just said in accordance to how far I forgive others, can you see? Or in accordance to what I can come up with. But it says, no, this forgiveness of sins that came with the shedding of the blood was only completely on the basis of the riches of his grace. It's got nothing to do with anyone, not with you, not with me. And that's what we see in the scripture. So again, we see that forgiveness, again, if you check the Greek concordance, this was Ephesians as well. It said it's a noun. It's a noun, it's something, it's the name of that which has been done. It's not an action that needs to be performed. It will have been a verb. It says, no, it's ephesim in Greek. Something that has been done, the name of something that has been accomplished. So now, does that not sound a bit strange? Because some people are wondering, or like the way we do as humans, where before you can forgive somebody for something that they did against you, you most times tend to see, would that person appreciate the fact that you're forgiving them? In fact, some people wait on the person to tell them they are very sorry before they can forgive them. And if some people don't say they are sorry, others, some people will not forgive them, because they say, well, let him say I'm sorry and I'll forgive. I mean, that's the way we think it is. But this is very strange that in God's own grammar or in God's own approach to things, the Bible says God supervised the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, the shedding of his blood. And by that shedding of his blood, there was the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So where were you? We are not even part of the equation. So forgiveness was on God's terms, only on the terms of God. That's what we see there.
In case you're wondering, why are we going all about this forgiveness, the verb, the noun? Does it really matter? It does matter, because we're talking about prayer. You need to have the basis. You have to be clear about it.
Well,
understand it, because you really, if you pray without understanding, you'll be able to Because if you don't get this thing, if you get this thing messed up about, oh, until I forgive, before I can receive forgiveness, and you don't understand that the forgiveness has already been done, it is part of the package, it's been even preached. If you have any business of anybody preaching anything to you, you just have to ask, are you preaching that the forgiveness is already done? And if the person is saying no, then you need to close the door, because that's
now,
what the message should be.
You know one thing, you said something now, and I think viewers all over the world, this matter we are talking about today could be the missing link in your capacity to receive from God.
I mean, it's a prayer.
It could be the missing link in your capacity to walk in the reality of what Christ paid for in your life. This could be the missing link of why some people are so frustrated in being able to receive from God. I could actually give you so many verses in the scripture that tells us on people who were incapacitated. They couldn't actually feel destined. If some people died before their time, some people were actually pushed around by the enemy because of this lack of understanding. I'll give you an example. James 5. James 5 says, "Is anybody merry among you? Let him sing psalms. Is anybody afflicted? Let him pray. Watch. Is anybody sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now watch. He said, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he has sinned, he shall be forgiven." So he's telling us that the reason why that man is in the bondage of sickness, where he's held bound, it says for him to come out of that bondage, God has to bring to him the understanding that even if he thinks he has sinned, that what is forgiven. Can you see that? It could actually limit that man from receiving what? Healing. People are seeking healing today, trying to bind the devil and destroy this and come against this in their lives. The Bible says if you lack a good understanding of the power of forgiveness, if you lack that revelation, it could keep somebody bound in sickness. Can you see? That's why what we're talking about today is critical. Look at that man that Jesus met. The man that, was there on the Sabbath day. And Jesus Christ said, and when he said, which one is easier to say? You know, and Jesus said to the man, "Your son, your sins be what? Forgiven." That doesn't make any sense. The man needed to be healed from lameness. Can you see that? What he needed was a deliverance from the fact that his bones or whatever his joints were weak and it couldn't work. And there was somebody that needed Jesus to come through for him in the area of what? Deliverance from the power of lameness, or from deliverance from illness and sickness. But Jesus addressed the issue of what? Forgiveness. So if you think, so what we are talking about today is so critical that it could be something that can hold you bound from unlocking and releasing the power of God in your life. But we are taking this consistently, step by step, until we get to what? To the fullness of what we're talking about.
I hope our viewers could hear this loud and clear and find out that from all the instances you have quoted from the scripture showing how forgive the revelation of the forgiveness of sin is tied to the receiving of healing. There have been lots of examples, even about the blind man, that they have to ask him, who sinned? You know, you just have to understand the question of who sinned or does not sin. Jesus has to come into it and stop and answer that first, even before the healing in those places. So you cannot actually push this under the carpet.
Now, this is critical to an effective prayer life. That's why if the devil knows that a Christian lacks his understanding, it's an inroad for the enemy to keep us bound from receiving from the Lord. That's why we're dealing with this today. In fact, that's why Jesus raised that issue in the Lord's Prayer. I mean, notice they said, teach us to what? To pray. They didn't say teach us how to forgive, but Jesus raised the issue of forgiveness in the prayer that he taught them. It would mean that you and I cannot be that effective in prayer if the concept or the understanding of forgiveness is still something that is not clear to us in our spirit. The enemy will take advantage. If you've been with us in our previous episode, we said something. The enemy is an advantage taker. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give foothold to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. It would mean that all the devil looks for or seeks after in a believer's life is any area of your ignorance. Anywhere you are ignorant. Anywhere you don't have the understanding of God's word. That is the devil's opportunity to put his foot right there. And if you notice, when Jesus gave the parable of the sower, I like this place where Christ Jesus said, when they asked him about the people that the seed fell on what? On the wayside. Jesus gave the interpretation. He said, this represents people who heard the word, but did not understand what they heard. And he said, the birds of the air represents what? The devil. He came and took that which was sown into their heart. It would mean that lack of understanding of spiritual reality is an invitation to demonic activity. Jesus says, I didn't say that. I just paraphrased what Christ Jesus said about the interpretation of that parable of the seed that fell on the wayside. It would mean if you and I don't understand the revelation of forgiveness as dictated by the new covenant, we are going to give the enemy an opportunity to confuse us first, or to limit our capacity in how we receive from God. And that's why we said, you that are listening to this today, this could be the thing that is keeping you bound from receiving from God in any other area of your life. You might not be talking about forgiveness. You might be trying to receive from God. You might be trying to walk in a reality or something in your spiritual life, even up to the point of manifesting in your natural life. But if you don't have a good understanding of forgiveness, the enemy could take that advantage in your life. Yeah, so we're doing this transmission today.
Yeah, this is a word of caution for anybody listening at this point and feel like tuning off and feel like this is not for me. I'm looking for the interesting part of the prayer, the one that I feel like I understand.
Oh my God.
You really have to listen to this.
This is serious.
You need to understand the revelation of the forgiveness. You need to understand what is done and know the difference.
Understand that between the old covenant and the new covenant, forgiveness has switched from a verb to a noun. Which we're asking God to do. So that God is saying, go and tell them I did it. Can you see? He said that they will preach forgiveness in his name. Can you see? You don't preach or proclaim something unless it's a news to people of what has been done.
And then this is the mother prayer. We're talking about it. And we saw the revelation of this understanding. We need this in the centrality of our prayer life.
Amen. So what we saw in Ephesians 1:7 is clear cut. Ephesians 1:7 says, it says forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. You were not there. You're not even part of the equation. See? You're not part of it. It is according to his riches. So, I mean, a God that presented forgiveness to humanity on the basis of his own personality. Can you see? On the basis of his person. And I think one of the problems we have in trying to understand this, we try to reduce God to our level. You see, we try to understand God in the way we understand ourselves. And you've got to understand the fact that for you to see God that way, you cannot bring God down to human level. God, Bible says, he forgave according to the riches of his grace. We, most times, people don't forgive according to their own personality. People forgive because the other person was sorry, or because the other person came to seek their forgiveness. No, it said God forgave. I didn't say that. Ephesians 1:7 says, he forgave according
to the riches of his grace.
Did he say according to your shout? Did he say according to your piety? Did he say according to the fact that you were nice, or the fact that you even came to confess? No, he said according to the riches of his grace. God offered forgiveness on his own terms. Can you see that? That's what we see in the scriptures.
Like you actually mentioned in the beginning, that some people have looked at the verse, they actually go, they have been prompted to forgive because they know if they don't forgive the way they read it,
we're still going to come to that.
God will not forgive them.
We're still going to come to that.
Not in the name of just they want to get their prayer answers. And that contrasted from the way God, who forgive according to the riches
of his grace.
They want to do that forgiving so that they can get answers. It's like a selfish method in a way. That's how they do it. They want to get their prayer answered. So who is there? Who do they need to forgive?
Now if you're wondering today, thank you for bringing up that. If you're wondering today, why the similar contradiction? Because Matthew 6:12 says, he will forgive if you forgive what? Others. Yes. Ephesians 1:7 says, he forgave.
Yeah.
According to the riches of his grace. Now, which one is true? I mean, which one is the right?
You tell us.
Well, stay there as we begin to go forth and we find out which one is true. But again, don't forget one thing that we've said before, that you got to understand that the new covenant was a game changer. You see that? The new covenant, I said, was a game changer because the Bible says about you and I, it says we are ministers. 2 Corinthians 3, we are able ministers
of the New Testament.
Of the New Testament, or the new covenant, not after the oldness of the letter. I mean, if God gives you a manifesto and says, I know we had a deal before, it was the old covenant deal, but I'm saying that now we are able ministers of the new covenant. I mean, you have no business going back to the oldness of the letter. Can you see that? I mean, you know somebody like Peter. I mean, Jesus in Acts chapter 7 kept on trying to convince him from heaven in a vision. And they said, what I call what?
I mean, what I call
the confusion of Peter was he was trying to interpolate the old covenant into the new. You can't do that. Can you see? And he got confused because he was trying to mix them up. And that's why some Christians are there today trying to relate with the Lord of the new covenant with an old covenant mindset. It causes confusion. So again, just stick with us as we begin to look at this. So at least one thing that we saw is this forgiveness is according to the riches of his grace. Quick, let Colossians 1 be another testimony for us Colossians 1:14. Let's see what that has to say. Again, it's the Greek word ephesin, which is a noun. That's what we see there. Colossians 1:14. Let's see what that says then, please. Colossians 1:14. Another testimony to this forgiveness thing that we are talking about. What does it say?
In him we have redemption through his blood.
In him again, in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins.
Go on, please. The forgiveness of sins.
He is the image of the invisible God.
Now again, it tells us in that verse 14, it says, in him we have what?
In whom?
In whom we have what?
Redemption.
Redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins.
Again, that word forgiveness, the Greek word ephesin, a noun. Something that we have already. Can you see? Mm-hmm. So that's what we see. It's not something you're going to actually have if you do something. No. It's something that we have already. So these are the verses that we see that actually give a testimony of a big contrast to Matthew 6:12 in regards to forgiveness of sins. Now, if you're there and you're wondering, you're saying, well, this forgiveness of sin that we are talking about, does it mean that are we saying that God has forgiven even though you are not sorry yet, even though you have not what? Confess your sins yet. Now, to answer your question, we've actually looked at that in Acts 26:18, that said that when we preach forgiveness, so that men may what?
Receive
forgiveness. And I think what people like that are confusing among these things is you are mixing up the difference between forgiveness of sins, which was offered due to the remission of what? To the shedding of what?
Of
the blood. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the
forgiveness.
So forgiveness of sin is not when you confess, it's not when you say you are sorry to God, it is at the point where the blood was shed. Now please, if you don't believe what we're talking about, can you please check your Bible? Don't take our word for it. Check the scriptures and see if those things were so, like the Berean word, Christians. Don't take us for it. The Bible says, as long as the blood was shed, forgiveness of sins was accomplished. You were not even there. So forgiveness of sin is not contingent or dependent on your sorry case by saying, until like, if I tell God I'm sorry, then there will be forgiveness of sin. You are reading your wrong mentality into the scriptures. Now, the thing that we have to point out is Acts 26:18. Then says that men need to what? Have faith or believe in that what? Forgiveness. So they can what?
Receive.
That's where you're, that is what you call salvation.
Receiving it is
where that's why forgiveness was a solo job. It was a solo, it was a one-man job that God carried out. One-man job. You were not called to the forgiveness table. He offered it. But all that we were called to the table to do is to what?
Receive
the forgiveness. And then just by what? By believing. That's what Acts 26:18 then says. And I think this clarifies this matter that we are talking about. Now, compare this to what we saw in Matthew 6:12. Matthew 6:12 says, no, that God will only forgive when you what?
Forgive
others. That is not what we see in the New Covenant. This is one major evidence to tell you and I that the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 is not a New Covenant prayer. It was a prayer for those people who were going to base their life on performance. And please, in a nutshell, if you're asking, we've been talking about Old Covenant and New Covenant. In a nutshell, if you want to ask me, or you want to ask us to say, what is the difference between the Old and New Covenant? It's simple. The Old Covenant simply says, I perform and I expect God to respond to me based on my what?
Performance.
That is the summation of the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, you are supposed to be the actor and God is the reactor in the Old Covenant. God is the one who is supposed to respond in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, turn it the other way around, upside down. God is the actor in the New Covenant. You are supposed to be the what? The reactor in the New Covenant. You are the one that responds in the New Covenant. God was the one that responded in the Old Covenant by what you do, but you are the one supposed to respond in the New Covenant by what God did. This is the big sharp contrast between the Old and New Covenant. And you must understand forgiveness in that way. If you don't, again, like we said, you give the enemy an inroad to put you in bondage.
Yes, it might be shocking for some of our viewers to know that they cannot take Matthew chapter 6, the model prayer, hook, line, and sinker, because it's not for us now. We cannot be praying like this.
Mm.
We cannot be praying that we would forgive so that we want God to respond that way anymore.
Thank you for that. And let me say this. Now, this might be something that might shock some of you. You might be wondering, if I say that this forgiveness of sin was accomplished by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, it means God has forgiven the sins of the whole world. Can I say that again quietly? Oh, let me say it slowly so that we can get it. It would mean that God didn't just provide forgiveness of sins for those who are born again, and he didn't provide it for those who are not what? Born again. Then that will be contradictory to Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14. That simply says that the forgiveness of sins was made available through the shedding of the blood. The blood was not shed for Christians. The blood was not shed for, it was shed for the whole world. How did I know that? John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son.
Even another place, when John was talking about him, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the whole world.
And the Bible says, if you believe that the blood was shed, it said it came with the forgiveness of what? Of sins. It would mean, I mean, the forgiveness of sin was already given to the whole world. The difference is the whole world is not saved yet. You
not
know
receiving.
Why? Not the whole world has received the forgiveness of sins. What are we hammering on today? We are simply saying you cannot convince God to make forgiveness of sin available. That's the word we're trying to say. Your prayer point, your piety, your holiness, your whatever you can never...
Your tears
or your being sorry, your confession doesn't make forgiveness available from God. It is wrong in a new covenant. No, all your repentance does is make you receive that forgiveness. So this is what we see. So it is wrong for you to say, well, if I forgive people, then God can forgive me. That is anti-Christ. That's anti-New Covenant. Anti-New Testament. That's what we see there. That forgiveness of sin was completely on God's word, on God's terms. So, now, it means we are contrasting this with Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. You see? Now, that's what we see in that place. You want to say one or two things there?
Yes. People should just take that. If you're still going to look at Matthew chapter 6, so just take verse 12 away, or you understand verse 12, interpret it in the new light.
Well, if you notice, you've been following us all through all this Lord's Prayer. We'll be interpreting each of those verses in the light of the what?
The
new covenant. And you might want to say, if this is the new covenant, why do we still have this in the Bible? I mean, some people say, well, are we not supposed to be reading Matthew again? Please do. And you have to. In fact, it's necessary for you to read the Gospels, even before the Gospel. And that is the reason. The Bible says that we know the law is good if it's being used what? Lawfully. It has its very use. The use of the law is something that drives us onto grace for us to understand that we cannot accomplish this on our own terms. And for people who think they are good enough for God, well, this is the kind of verse that will condemn them. Can you see? That's why this is in the scripture and we have to use it lawfully. But it's just like somebody taking somebody's medicine. If you take another man's medicine, it can be dangerous for your health. If you are in the new covenant in Christ Jesus, this is not your verse. For those who are not, that's their verse. And that's why it's still right there for us to understand the need for grace in the new covenant. Now, quickly, I mean, as we go on, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, I want to read verse 19 and let's see what it says there. Now, we've established one thing, and we're going to go all the way back to Matthew 6, 12 very soon.
2 Corinthians 5, 19.
What did it say, please?
There is that God was in Christ.
God was in Christ.
Reconciling the world to himself.
Can you see what we said? It would mean that God didn't just reconcile Christians. Can you see? This is an evidence then that tells you and I, God did not reconcile Christians in Christ. God did not reconcile people who are born again in Christ. No. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God reconciled the whole world, the whole world to himself. He's simply saying that God offered this forgiveness by himself. He didn't even wait for the whole world. Of course, the whole world is not born again. The whole world is not saved today, apparently. How is it possible that the whole world is not saved? But yet, God has reconciled what? The whole world unto himself. God says, on my part, I've offered what? Forgiveness. The olive branch has been offered on God's side. Can you see that? Now go on, please. What did he say next?
Reconciling the world to himself.
Okay, through Christ. Okay.
Not imputing their trespasses to them.
So God is no more counting their sins against them anymore. That is what you call forgiveness. Can you see that? That's forgiveness. That is forgiveness. And let me give you a picture of this using a practical example. If somebody was doing something against me, or somebody was actually committing an atrocity or trying to do me some harm or evil, now, well, on my side, I could say, well, I'm not even waiting for the person to come and ask for my forgiveness. I say, well, I choose to what? Forgive them on my own terms. Is that okay? Even I might not even see them with my eyes, or I probably know where they are, but I heard that they did something against me. I said, well, I forgive them from my heart. Now, that's what God did in Christ. In Christ Jesus, God reconciled the whole world to himself. God did his own part. He didn't even wait for anyone to clean themselves up. Now, it's a bit of a mystery then. It's something, like I said, something to be sorry about. That even for the whole world, the Bible says God had reconciled himself to what? To the world. He had offered forgiveness of sins to the world. It's a bit of an anomaly that some Christians are then trying to get forgiveness from God, even when those who are not even Christians have been offered what? Forgiveness. This is an anomaly. This is a shame that even those who are in the world have been offered forgiveness, but those who are in Christ are trying to get God's forgiveness. I mean, can you see that? That doesn't make any logical sense. It's against all logic. So he says here that God had reconciled himself to the world. Now see what he says. What is the next verse? Verse 19.
Yes, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Good. Now go on, please.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Okay.
As though God were pleading through us.
Okay.
We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Can you see that? So he says the problem cannot be the fact that you are hoping that God will reconcile to you, or God will forgive you. He said no. The question is, you've been forgiven, but the question is, are you going to reconcile what to God? Again, he makes the humans, he makes people the responders. We are the receivers, not the actor. So we've established one fact before we go on to other aspects, that forgiveness in the new covenant is a noun. It's not an action for God to perform. It's an action that God would perform. That's what forgiveness is in the new covenant. Now, how then do we explain? I mean, you wanted to say
something. Yes, another take-home point for me, and I hope that our viewers would glean this out, was like, from all the verses we've read since we started this exposition, we see when he was talking about the forgiveness in the New Testament, he was telling the preaching about it. So telling us what this preaching is, about what we should be preaching. So if people are just saying, making a different declaration, proclamation, or making it as if it's a verb, because some people are still doing, they have the normal punchline of the words, the tax, forgiveness, remission, and they have that. In the, you look at it, we have a check part or check sheet, you see, they are saying the right thing, the forgiveness, so you can tick the box. But they are preaching it as a verb. So they are actively preaching, making proclamation, but not in the light of the New Testament.
That's enough.
So we find out that we really need to understand this. And even in what we preach, even for those who are preaching, this is the message we all listen to those who are being preached to, and to those who are preaching, to know that this is it. And then Second Corinthians was telling us again about this ministry of reconciliation, knowing that God was not counting the sin. We are not going to make anything, we are not going to do anything to make God to forgive us. He has already, even before the foundation of the world, Christ has been, the lamb has been slaughtered. So that is it. We need to really understand what our preaching message should be, what our content of our message is as the New Testament ministers.
Now, thank you for that. Now, you see, there's one thing that you mentioned. I think this is a point we can actually make this clearer. Now, you see, God knows that irrespective of what he did in Christ Jesus, in the fact that by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, by the remission of sins, he says that we have been given what? Forgiveness. But he knows that this has to become a declaration, because he wants the right response from us. He knows without the right response, what he did in Christ will not benefit us. Can you see that? Because there are sometimes that something could have been done on your behalf, but you might be living life like it's never done on your behalf. Which is why some Christians then are praying prayers or saying things that makes it look like some things were not done. This is where the proclamation is needed. This is where the declaration is needed. A good example that comes to mind is of the case of Mephibosheth. Can you see? Mephibosheth.
Saul's grandson.
Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son. You know, who actually, the David had actually made a covenant of favor and of mercy with Jonathan. and upon his generation. Can you see? And even though that covenant was in place, even though that arrangement was in place, and David actually was going to keep his word, but someone did not make the declaration to Mephibosheth. He did not get, he didn't get a memo in the office.
Yeah. I think you might want to refer our people to where it is, so people for the test.
Okay, please, you can read second, you know,
Samuel,
second Samuel, chapter 4.
Yes,
you can read from verse 4.
Please,
you can read 2 Samuel chapter 4 from verse 4 downwards. So the memorandum of that declaration didn't get to Mephibosheth and his nurse. Okay, he didn't get a memo. There was no declaration. That's why it says
As if there was no declaration.
As if there was no such covenant of mercy.
Yeah.
That's why it says that forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name. Somebody must make a declaration of that forgiveness of sins. If not, people's lives will not be affected by that which was done. Can you see? So, you see, in the old covenant, in Matthew 6:12, forgiveness was that which will be done if you forgive those that were sinned against you. No, but in the new covenant, it is that which was done according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. And it says, a declaration made about that. So the memorandum did not get to Mephibosheth. And apparently, because he never got a memorandum, by the time they heard that David was in the city, the nurse of Mephibosheth took him and decided to run. Because when they heard that David was in the city, they assumed, because Saul wanted to kill David, and now that David has become what? Has come into the city, they assumed that David was going to decide to wipe off every family of Saul and his generation. They assumed. Can you see? They assumed. Now the question is, are you living your Christian life on assumption regarding God's forgiveness? Are you living your Christian life on assumption or based on ESA, what has been preached or said, where you worship, or the tradition, the Christian tradition in the family where you grew up in regarding God's forgiveness? Some Christians today, what we carry in our heads or in our mind about forgiveness, they are the traditions that we grew up with in a Christian home, for those who come from Christian families. Some is the tradition of the place of worship where you go to. Now, or what you thought you heard. You see, the nurse of Mephibosheth, based on the assumption that they knew that Saul was trying to kill David. So they assumed David was going to come into the city and wipe away Saul's family. So they took Mephibosheth and ran. The nurse took him and ran, and he fell and he broke his feet. And then he became lame. That's what we see there. Can you see? Even though there was a covenant of mercy, there was a covenant of favor, but yet somebody became lame because they didn't get a memorandum. And that's what we say. That's a danger there. That's what the Bible says. We need to keep declaring this forgiveness of what? Sin. That God said, I've done the reconciliation on my part. We should tell men about what has happened so that men can respond to what was done.
Yes, taking you up on that, the story of that Mephibosheth and the nurse and the story is cause for sober reflection, because really, as you're talking about it, I was just thinking about it in the light of what we're sharing, that even coming is still a great responsibility on the preachers to know that they must really get this word out, because it makes no sense that David had this arrangement and Israel does not know about it. So that is the great task for the preachers to know that this declaration of the forgiveness of sin that Christ has done would not make any benefit to mankind if it does not get out. So we really need to get it out, because so many people are going to run lame. So many people are lame, running away.
Lame by condemnation.
Yes.
Lame in life, cut short. Can you see?
They're running away from the provision of the Lord. You know, that is that community, and they're running to so many things that become diseased of all sorts. So that is just a perfect example for why we really need to understand what Christ has, this proclamation, what it has done, and why we need to familiarize ourselves to it, and why we need to declare it. And know that there's an arrangement in place. There's an arrangement of God's goodness and favor on us. That is why he gave his son. For that redemption, we need to hear it, and we need to declare it. And we do need not to run away from it, because some people are running away from the provision
of that which is made. And that's why I was trying to say the other time that most of us, the mentality we carry is just the common mentality in our environment, where we live, our background, and we have not found out for ourselves. And people say, well, you know what, the God that we serve is like this and like that. But the Bible simply says God offered forgiveness on his own terms. He said, according to the riches of his grace.
Unfortunately, some people, just like in that case, I'm not sure, I don't know why I'm going back to that case and again.
Mm-hmm.
You see some people like, okay, that guy was unfortunate because of the nurse. So some people are so unfortunate because of people who are the nurse that made right for them.
Yeah, people
that they're making decisions for them. I feel like, in a good judgment, it felt like they should run away. That is it. So I saw so many well-meaning people.
Mm-hmm.
I run so many people's lives now. So many midwives, so many nurses
who are batting people into the faith.
Batting them into the faith, but they are making them. They are putting them in danger.
Mm.
Making them running away from the provision of God. So we really have to understand this and really have to know this for ourselves to be able to fire some nurses away and be able to, with your own understanding, you'll be able to guide.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So it tells you and I the power of the proclamation of that which was done. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Forgiveness was done.
So you need people around you that need to that understand this and proclaim this.
Mm.
Now, is it not when they said, talking about the Israelites and they, because the people that they listen to and everything, some people have even in the New Testament that made shipwreck
their faith.
Faith because of people they hear their nurse. That is the thing. So it's not actually talking about the Old Testament example of just talking about Saul's grandson and so that is why running lame. Some people, even the apostle was saying, people have made shipwreck
of their faith.
Yes, now they went overboard. Because of the people around them, the nurses. Yes, because the nurses, people that they listen to. So you really have to understand this thing for yourself. So in your own understanding, will determine who you will allow in your sphere of circle, your sphere of influence, who you will allow based on the understanding. So you choose people around you by understanding.
Now, it might sound to you that what we are saying, it might sound to you, if you look at it superficially, that we are saying, no, the issue of having to be saying you're sorry to God if you've done something wrong, or that you're confessing to God if you've done something wrong, is irrelevant because God has forgiven us. You might think that's what we are saying. Well, in a way, what we are saying, we're not saying confessing or being sorry or coming to the Lord to repent is not something you have to do. It's not something you don't have to do. That's not what we are saying. Don't misquote us. What we are saying is, even when you come to the Lord, confessing and repenting, it's not because you want to make God
to
forgive you. No, that's not the case. That is not in the scriptures in the new covenant. Well, all that will come on the side of receiving the forgiveness. Acts 26:18. Can you see that? So, please, all those acts, all the spiritual acts, or whatever you're going to do, does not make God forgive you. If it does, it will run contrary to Ephesians 1:7, Galatians 1:14, Acts 26:18. It's going to run contrary to so many scriptures. In fact, there's a place in 1 John 2, I think verse 21, 22, it will run contrary to those new covenant scriptures. All those things that you do when you come to the Lord is for you to take hold of that forgiveness, not to make God forgive you. God only forgives according to the riches of his grace. That's what we say.
If I were you, I would just have read Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 and say, oh, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness in which you that came through the remission of the sin. And because of this forgiveness,
according to the riches of your grace,
according to this forgiveness that I've received, I'm able to give.
We're still going to come to that. We're just trying to.
I don't want people to just throw that.
We're still going to come to that.
They don't have any responsibility.
No. We're still going to come to that. But at least first, what we have to establish is to say, God's forgiveness had nothing to do with you and I.
And what you do?
No, he says. He said, in whom we have redemption, true, in his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So, only on the shedding of the blood of Jesus, only according to the riches of God's grace was forgiveness offered, not on any condition. If you believe and you come to God by faith, you only receive that which was given. That's what we've established on this transmission.
Yes,
nothing else.
I may want to bring this to your attention because some people might just be under the burden of unforgiveness, feeling like there's an obligation for somebody to forgive them and they don't feel released. So they feel like, because they've done something to someone, So maybe they have settled the past with the Lord or something, but they go to the person and feel like the person has not forgiven them, and so they feel like that is where they are still carrying the burden. All along, to know that the forgiveness, the responsibility is with the Lord.
Well, those are things we're gonna. Please, you want to stick with us on this? We are on this forgiveness thing. We're gonna go through quite some few topics. Okay. We don't know how many topics we're gonna go through.
So it's as broader well, than
it's quite broader and it's quite deeper.
To how to navigate between how to immense forgiveness.
We're gonna come to that.
So,
James versus confession 4:20. These are different dimensions, but. Again, the reason we've started this way today is to tell you and I, the first principles of forgiveness is to tell you and I, it started with God.
Yeah.
You see, if you read Matthew 6:12, it will sound like it started with man. Okay, you see that? Matthew 6:12 says, if we forgive, it says, forgive us
our debt
as we forgive. So it will sound that it started with us first, and as we did it with those that what sin against us, please also forgive us as well.
Meaning that if we don't forgive others our debt,
God too will not forgive us. So it made it sound like it started with us. The chain started with us. But we are seeing a new covenant. The chain of forgiveness did not start with man. That's what we've established today. Yeah, I mean, it matters where it started from. It matters a lot, the originator. He's saying a new covenant, the originator of forgiveness is God. And that's it. And he says, God has forgiven our sins according to the riches of his grace. The old world is forgiven. But the old world has not received it yet, but the old world is forgiven of their sins in Christ Jesus. That's what we see in the scriptures.
So you should heave a sigh of relief in case you are just carrying.
You can't convince God to forgive you. You can't even repent so that God can forgive you. You can't even confess so that God can forgive you. Now, if that sounds like running against your background religion, please check the scriptures. And then you can ask us questions, or you can send us messages, and we can clarify that more regarding that.
So we'll see you next time we're transmitting. We want to see that you know that you should heave a sigh of relief because the forgiveness is a done deal. Christ has forgiven you through the remission of his blood. And true, according to his riches of his grace, don't forget that according to his riches of his grace, no matter what you do, or you plan to do, or you would not do, that will not change that. It is eternal. The forgiveness of your sin is done deal. Mm-hmm. And then that is the business, and that is the message we're preaching. So if you see anybody knocking at your door and preaching anything that is outside this, you know, that is not the message.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the declaration. You must find it and have the, as you must pin it in the wall.
Amen.
That is the declaration I've been forgiven according to the riches
it's no
of
more,
his grace.
It's no more a verb, it's now and now.
So in whichever way that I can make you to remember it, so you have to have it as a poster in whichever way to write it down. I know this is my declaration, this is my proclamation, you know, that the declaration of independence, abolishment of slave trade, all those things, as important as those documents are. That is how it must come to our senses and our understanding that yes, I have been forgiven. According, you just have to know true, which means according to the riches of his grace, not the riches of your work. So in case you are rolling up your sleeve, no,
not
it's
the
too
riches
late.
Of how many people you are forgiven.
Yes. So if you are rolling up your sleeve, it's too late because the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world, even before you came, even before you appear on the scene, you've already been forgiven. So there's nothing much you can do to undo what is already done. So today we have done the switch and I hope we were able to switch your understanding from the noun to the verb and know what happened in the New Testament. So we will see you next again, because you've just learned today there are so many broader topics under forgiveness, and there are so many questions we want to address. Okay, how do we deal with the forgiveness between each other? How do we confess it, and how does it affect and all those kind? So you will want to listen and join us our next transmission as we continue this. So then we want to say, should you have any questions, any comment, anything, you know, anything for clarifications, you can know how to hit us on our page and just send it across or private message or through email or through the website or the YouTube site. So till we see you again, I've been saying till we see you again, next transmission, we want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so work in him. God bless you. Bye.